11 a.m. on Mondays. Thank you, everyone. The show up next is Courtside with Marcus and Gavin.
To meet you, static on the phone. Normally I need you, this time I don't wanna go. Lately I've been growing into someone you don't know. You had the chance to love her, but apparently you don't. No, you don't. So even if I could, would it go back where we started?
For you, Gavin Evans and Marcus Frank.
Must see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words.
Welcome to Courtside. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host,
Gavin Evans.
Gavin, crazy trade deadline, right?
Absolutely crazy. So much new stuff to talk about, Marcus.
I was texting back and forth all of last week with Gavin, sending all the trades. It was a really condensed trade deadline. Usually you see, like, over the course of the month, there'll be a lot of trades, but it was, like, all in 2 days. A lot of it was because of the Giannis buzz from his name, Shams Charania. He's now ESPN's head, like, trade guy, but we should really be calling him Scams Charania because that Giannis trade did not happen.
Yeah, absolutely lied to everybody about that. I don't know who his sources were within, you know, the Bucks organization or within Giannis's camp, but just none of that came true. And I don't know if everyone listening saw, but Giannis is now actually a part owner of the prediction market, Kalshi. So, you know, who knows how much this was really just insider trading to make an extra buck, but
yeah, that's, who knows? That's my conspiracy theory. We won't touch allegedly, Gavin. Allegedly. We don't want to sued.
He is a part owner now.
That part is true.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. So where do we want to start, Marcus? Any teams, any trades in particular?
So there were numerous stars. It definitely wasn't as crazy as last year's deadline with Luka traded,
but nothing can top that.
There were some unexpected trades. So set the scene. Gavin and I were sitting in the library at night watching the Clippers v. Sixers game.
Great game.
Sixers were putting belt to ass to Clippers. They were up by like 20. And it's halftime. Gavin flashes his phone, and it says James Harden and the Clippers are in talks with the Cavs to trade him there for Darius Garland. I was sitting wearing my James Harden jersey. I fall to the floor. I'm like, there's no way. And then 2 days later, James Harden is traded to the Cavs for Darius Garland and a second-round pick. We thought that the Clippers were going to be giving up a pick in this trade, but it was basically a one-for-one swap. Pretty unexpected trade, though.
Yeah, absolutely a stunner. I mean, when we saw the trade, we thought it was fake almost. Like, we did not think it was real. There weren't really any signs of this. I mean, no NBA insiders or, you know, people on ESPN were talking about James Harden once out. The Clippers were on, I mean, we talked about this last episode, just a stunning winning streak. I mean, they were
15-3. We didn't get to it, actually.
We didn't. Yeah.
Which is really sad, because now we'll never get to talk about that. They won yesterday, though.
Yeah. So, just, like, stellar winning streak. James Harden playing elite ball. And
his greatest season since probably him being on the Rockets. He's averaging, like, 25-8 and
then
5.
Just suddenly, you know,
just James, gone.
James Harden's gone.
A lot of it, I don't really know. I'm not certain why it is, but I think the narrative as of now is that it was contract negotiations. James Harden probably wanted, like, a max deal for 3 years to secure, like, one last big contract. And the Clippers, who have said they want to maintain flexibility for the 27-28 offseason, looking to sign a Giannis or a Jokic who are up then. So they didn't want to give Harden the contract. And I assume maybe the Cavs are willing to give him like a $40 million 3-year contract. So that's probably why he got traded. I don't think it's because of their poor start. But also just going to the Cavs, I think he's able to contend for a championship again. Because the Clippers, as much as I want to believe that they could contend, like, this year, it's not happening.
James has to keep that playoff streak alive.
And I think, do you think this trade makes the Cavs contenders? There's another Cavs trade that we'll talk about that also helps them. But, like, what do you think of this trade, Gavin?
In the very near term, I think it improves their odds. This trade isn't good for them long term, I think.
No.
I mean, long term, James Harden, I love him. He's an amazing ball player. Should have been an all-star in the West, I think, this year. Now with the trade, obviously, that changes.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has that many years of good basketball left in him. I think he's, what, 37 now?
Yeah. Or he's 36. He's turning 37 August.
I feel like sometime around that 40-year mark, I think he might just hit a wall. I think we tend to see that with a lot of great players. And I just, beyond the next, like, you know, this year, the next maybe 2 years, I really don't know if this trade actually makes that much sense for the Cavaliers. Darius Garland is constantly injured, is the thing.
Yeah, with the turf toe, and yeah, he broke toe, his other toe, actually.
And I think some ankle issues as yeah. well. But if when he's healthy, he's a better future option for them. And they had to give up draft capital, too. They had to give up a second.
Yeah.
Pick, I believe.
James Harden is actually 10 years older than Darius Garland. Yeah. Darius Garland, 26. James Harden, 36. But I think a lot of it is also Donovan Mitchell is his contract is up in 2 years, I think. And they really wanted to secure his re-signing. As of now, I don't think he wants to re-sign, or he hasn't committed to re-signing yet. And Darius Garland probably out for this year. He's not going to be able to contend.
Yeah, like meaningful minutes.
And with getting James Harden, that just boosts this year's title odds. Which, if you want Darius to, or if you want Donovan Mitchell to re-sign in 2 years, then you need to put together a good playoff run. Because last season they were a second round exit. And they've kind of been exiting second round, first round for the past, like, 5 years with this core four of Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, and Donovan Mitchell. But core four is broken up. James Harden's added. I think James Harden is a better player also than Darius right now.
Better player than Darius Garland. But Darius Garland's going to be in the league for another 10 years. James Harden's probably out within four.
Yeah. I really like this trade for the Clippers, though. I think the Clippers, probably out of all the teams in the league, they had the bleakest future after this team. They were dubbed as the Unction. They had like four or five over 35-year-old players. They were the oldest team of all time. And now they traded their point guard, 36-year-old point guard, for a 26-year-old two-time All-Star who maybe he won't be like a key piece of this next era, but definitely a good asset to have on the team. Probably a good third option on a future championship team. I really like this for the Clippers.
And another thing I think you have to consider about like James Harden, this is not even top three worst exits from a team for him.
No. Should we rank the exits?
Yeah. I think the craziest, funniest, and worst exit he's ever had from a team is with the Sixers. 2 years ago, was it? 2 years ago?
Two and a half,
yeah. This season plus two. In a contract dispute with the Sixers, wants a long-term extension. Sixers don't want to give him the money. Even though they turned around and gave the money to Paul George, which, you know, I have my opinions on.
Questionable decision with that.
Yeah, but he is at a basketball camp in China for pretty young children, I think maybe middle school-aged. And he's talking to these Chinese children, and he's saying, you know, Daryl Morey is a liar. I will never play for a team that Daryl Morey is a part of, blah, blah, blah. To, like, these kids that have, like, no clue, like, what is going on. Like, they're clearly not following, like, NBA contract disputes and, like, you know, who the Sixers, like, general manager is, right? I think that's the craziest, in my opinion. But he's some others. Do you want to list yours?
Fat Suit in Houston was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, he shows up to he wants to be traded out of Houston in 2019-2020.
Yeah.
I think 2020. He just shows up to like training camp and practice like incredibly like
just obese.
Like and well the thing is I don't know if it wasn't like actually a fat suit, but
no, it was just like on him.
Yeah, he gets traded the next day and like is then literally just goes back to like prime James Harden again like very fit basketball.
He
player.
Is like, kind of like stocky, but it's usually muscle. He just looked like
it's like infamous, like how like the turnaround like to that and then back is crazy. Asking out of Brooklyn as well. I think he
did something similar in Brooklyn to get to Philly. But he's generational asker outer.
Yeah, he's always
he knows how to get off a team, that's for sure.
The problem is never him. It's always somebody else's problem, you know?
But with this, I think it was an amicable split. I saw he posted something on his story about like how much he loved Clippers management, Steve Ballmer. So I think it was an amicable split. They both recognize Clippers wanna have future flexibility. James Harden wants to secure his last, like, major bag and contend. And I think both sides are happy with this trade, probably.
Yeah, it serves both sides' interests.
Yeah. So another Cavs trade that I also think made them into maybe my favorite to come out of the East now, the Dennis Schroeder trade. So Dennis Schroeder, Keon Ellis, and Emmanuel Miller were traded to the Cavs, and Sacramento got DeAndre Hunter. So Keon Ellis, he was in trade talks a lot. Dennis Schroeder, not so much, but both are two good defenders, two good guards. Both shoot the three well. I definitely think they bolster this Cavs bench, bring a lot of good defense, especially if you have James Harden and Donovan Mitchell in your backcourt, two guys not known for their defense. I think that definitely helps the Cavs. Right, Gavin?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I don't get this trade from the Sacramento side.
No, awful trade.
We talked about this a little last week, but now with the benefit of hindsight, if you're going to sell Keon Ellis for not a great return package at all in DeAndre Hunter, and then turn around and not make a single other move at the deadline, like it begs, or another big move, like it really begs the question of what is this front office doing? I mean, I know there was a lot of talk that they were looking to ship off Domantas Sabonis at the deadline, and just nothing materialized. But why so low on Keon Ellis like this? DeAndre Hunter really has not been that good this year.
There actually was a Sabonis trade with Toronto, but Kings wanted extra first-round picks in the trade, which is ridiculous when it's like Sabonis. He's on this crazy contract.
Yeah.
He's not that good of a player anymore. I mean, the Kings, they're a poverty franchise, and they will remain as this poverty. They had that the Light the Beam Kings like 3 years ago. They were like the second seed. De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis.
Yeah, and I mean, this was last year, but they sold De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs for almost nothing in return.
For a bag of chips, basically. They got Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I mean, he's been stellar for the Spurs since then. Starting point guard. This team is one that just, like, really can... They're tanking like crazy. They are in a blatant tank, obviously not trying to win games and stuff. But I just, like, if you're going to tank like that and you're going to sell assets for Keon... Like, sell Keon Ellis for, like, not that valuable assets right now, you have to sell Sabonis at this deadline for whatever you can get. Like,
yeah. Any picks. And yeah. I think they gave up a pick, actually, in this trade.
Yeah.
They gave up a pick to the Bulls for DeAndre. Just terrible, terrible trade. I like it a lot for the Cavs. Terrible trade for the Sacramento Kings. Another team who made a lot of moves at the deadline to potentially position themselves as contenders for next year, the Washington Wizards traded for Anthony Davis. Gavin, very surprising trade for me. I did not expect the Wizards to be buyers.
Very out of the blue. There was some talk that Davis was going to get shipped out of Dallas. I don't think anybody thought that Washington was buying. They have a lot of salary cap. Their team is very, very young. Lots of rookies and second-year players. So they have the room on the team for him. But I don't quite see the vision with this trade, honestly. I mean, this guy is always hurt.
Anthony Day-to-Day Davis, as many dub him.
Always hurt. Not going to play the rest of the season. It was just announced. Apparently doesn't really even want to play in Washington at all. He apparently doesn't want a contract extension here. You have to give up assets for him. I mean, they gave up draft picks, right?
Yeah, but it was a pretty, like, weak draft picks they gave up.
It wasn't anything crazy, but, like, I don't quite see the vision here. Like, there are other people you could have gone and bought at the deadline that at least were going to play for you.
Jaren Jackson.
Exactly.
Right? They probably could have gotten him. I think they're definitely jumping the gun on trying to become contenders. there are teams like the Thunder, the Nuggets in the West, the Pistons and the Knicks. This team is not better than them. They have, like, they also traded for Trae Young, another trade.
That was a while ago we talked about.
Who's this core three? Trae Young, AD, and Alex Sarr?
Well,
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, this has the potential to be a very good team. They have very good bones in these young guys. Alex Sarr.
Keyshawn George,
Bilal Coulibaly.
But I think it really takes away from the other guys now that they have Trae, who's a total heliocentric ball hog. And AD also, who needs the ball in his hands.
Is you just have to give them time on the court, let them develop, right? Not take their minutes away and give them to, you know, these old players who aren't going to do very much for your team. They're going to keep the ball in their hands, you know, all the time. It doesn't really make much sense, honestly, like, for this team.
Yeah, and also for the Mavericks, I think it's a terrible trade. They got nothing in return.
If you look at this as, like, the culmination of the Luka Doncic trade from just about a year ago for Anthony Davis, basically, Dallas traded Luka Doncic for, like, Chris Middleton, AJ Johnson, and picks. Like,
and not good picks at that.
Exactly.
A 2026 first-round pick from the Thunder, so that's the 30th pick. A 2029 first-round pick from the Lakers, which who knows how good that will be, but when you're employing Luka Doncic, and that's going to be, like, peak prime Luka, they're not going to be worse than, like, play-in, high play-in at that. And a 2030 pick from the Warriors, which is intriguing, but it's a top 20 protected pick, so that's also going to be weak. Just mismanagement.
Like, this is really kind of just a bad trade all around. Like, this, I don't quite get anybody.
It doesn't make sense. They got three future seconds, but
I mean, second round still, picks are honestly, like, worthless.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And Marvin Bagley the third and Tyus Jones, AJ Johnson, Chris Middleton in the trade. Chris Middleton expiring. I think I saw potential buyout guy. But yeah, just terrible trade all around. Do you think it'll set back the Wizards? If AD doesn't end up signing?
I don't think set back. I think it puts them just back on the track they were before the trade.
Yeah, of being, like, which, one of the worst teams.
Well, not one of the worst, but a team that has a bright future in the mix, especially if they can hit on some more draft picks.
Yeah. They probably will end up getting a top five pick this year.
Although, I mean, the Wizards have gotten, like, very unlucky with the past few years.
The Hawks jumped up to first, and the Spurs, the Mavericks. Yeah, the Spurs, like, jumped up last year.
Yeah. The Sixers even beating them out last year. Because of the way the draft lottery works nowadays, it is the odds are flattened so that
the top three teams all have the same odds
for the first pick. Of the worst record in the league doesn't automatically get you the first overall pick. So it's meant to prevent tanking or at least try and mitigate it. But it means bad teams like the Wizards, the Utah Jazz have not gotten lucky. The Hornets, although they did hit on Con Canupple this past year. Very much a hit with Con Canupple. For a while, before the Pistons were good the last few years, they kept getting like the fifth overall pick while setting league records for like longest losing streak.
They had like the longest losing streak of all time.
Yeah.
Like two, 3 years ago.
I think I'm not a big fan of the way the modern tanking rules work. But I do think it's important to mitigate tanking. So, like, I just think there's maybe a different middle ground that can be found, you know?
Another team who we did not expect to be buyers at all at the deadline. The Utah Jazz traded for Jaren Jackson Jr. in a very surprising deal also. I was shocked. I thought maybe the Grizzlies could sell high on Jaren Jackson, but we all expected Ja Morant to be the guy moved, but they traded Jaren Jackson, Jacques Landell, John Conchar, and Vince Williams Jr. for Walter Clayton Jr., Kyle Anderson, Taylor Hendricks, George Niang, and three future first-round picks. Pretty good return for Jaren Jackson Jr., I think.
Yeah, I like this trade from Memphis. I think it would have been nice if you could have sold Ja alongside him this trade deadline. Unfortunately, his trade value is just, in the gutter right now. hasn't been playing well, has had off the court issues, you know. But all things considered, for Jaren Jackson Jr., you get like filler players for salary. Walter Clayton Jr., a rookie, I think reigning national champion with Florida, right?
Yeah.
Was, I think, the star player on that Florida team. Three future first rounders. It's not a bad return for Jaren Jackson Jr. And personally, I was really confused at first what Utah was doing with this. I was like, this doesn't really make much sense. Why is this team buying? I kind of see the vision now.
Yeah, really big team.
Yeah, I mean, so you've got Lauri Markkanen has been a nonstop subject of trade talks the past few years. Everyone's like, I'm guilty of this too. Now's the time to sell high, sell them now, get some picks, just full rebuild tank mode. But you look at this team next year, you have
Lauri,
Jaren Jackson Jr., Nurkic, Walker Kessler when he's back from injury as well, who I think I saw they were refusing trades for. People were trying to trade pretty good packages for Walker Kessler, who is, I believe, missed most of the season.
And I think he is a free agent next year, yeah. So probably he'll get a bag.
I think restricted with, like, rights and stuff.
Yeah. They also have Ace Bailey and Keontae George, he's emerged this year as a real guy.
I really like Keontae George. And another guy I don't think you can sleep on is Isaiah Collier. I think had a... Well, so because of this trade, they've been very limited on players. So Isaiah Collier has played, I think it was back-to-back games with every single minute of the game played, all 48. And one of those, he had something like 22 assists.
Yeah, I saw that. That was
just a machine for nuts. Assists. I think he is the Jazz rookie record last year for assists as well. So they have a really intriguing team next year that I think...
Last 10 games, he's averaging 9.5 assists.
Yeah, I think they have... I really was questioning it at first, but I could see this team making a run in the West next year.
I don't know.
I think you could make it into the...
The Western Conference is a pretty scary league next year.
It is, but, like, think about...
I think they could be jumping the gun.
I don't think the Lakers are going to be all that good next year. I don't think the Rockets are going to be all that good next year. The Spurs will be very good. The Thunder will also probably be very good. But I think the West is getting weaker, in my opinion.
Really? I think next year... Well, next year, the tanking teams... The Grizzlies definitely will be tanking. Trading Jaren. Probably going to end up trading Ja. And the Kings are tanking next year. The Pelicans... allegedly have a playoff roster, quote unquote. Right now they're 14-40, so I don't know how good the Pelicans will be, but
yeah,
the Blazers are trying to win. Maybe the Mavericks will be trying to win next year with Kyrie back, and the Jazz. And
Clippers are probably not
Clippers.
Be
I think the Clippers will be good next year.
I do. You've got aging
But they'll Kawhi. They'll be a play in. They'll probably
yeah,
be the ninth or tenth.
They could be playing,
so the Jazz yeah. The Jazz may fall to the 11th spot.
I think they could make like an 8th.
I don't know, but really, are you taking the Jazz over the Warriors next year?
That's the thing. I need to
or
see
the Suns?
I need to see this team together, but I think it's possible, dude. I don't know. I think we're out of the era of small ball in the NBA. I think
definitely in a big era.
Teams run, you know, small you know, mostly guard lineups, which like Chicago has right now. We'll talk about that later. But I think this is a league of like bully ball right now. You just want big physical guys on the court, and I think Utah can put that out there. So yeah, I don't know.
Interesting trade. We'll see how it ends up. Another trade that was kind of surprising. We knew Kuminga was in trade talks. Probably he was in trade talks for the past like 2 years.
It's been a while. He's wanted out.
But the Warriors add Porzingis for Kuminga and Buddy Hield. The Warriors sent out Jonathan Kuminga and Buddy Hield to the Hawks and in return got Kristaps Porzingis, who has been injured the past like 3 years, basically.
Yeah, so
he's barely played.
He's been diagnosed now with Potts syndrome, which I've been informed is a very real thing. It's basically like when you stand up... you have issues where you get very, like, dizzy, lightheaded, and it makes it very difficult to play basketball and, like, at a high level. So he's been on and off the court for a while. It's apparently not something that has, like, a very clear solution or, like, way to fix it. So he's probably not going to play that much. which is why this is like such a weird trade for Golden State. Like,
he barely played in that Celtics 2024 title run. I don't think he played at all. Last year he only played 42 games. This year he's only played 17 so far. And not only does he have POTS, he also just has like lingering like ankle, leg injuries. I really think it's a good fit, though. Porzingis on this team, if Jimmy didn't get injured, I think they would be contenders, like even stronger contenders than they were. But, I mean, he's not going to play.
Yeah. No, like, I mean, this team needed size, and like prime Porzingis is would be a guy for them, but not right now. I mean, we talk about like moving away from small ball. You can't have Draymond Green running your center or your power forward position in the modern NBA. So something did need to change for this team. I just don't think Kristaps Porzingis was the guy. There was some talk they were going to go for Giannis, obviously.
The Giannis, yeah. They were like, they had a pretty compelling, I mean, not a, yeah. There were no compelling offers for Giannis out there, yeah. Basically.
So just, like, I guess the Hawks won this, but, like, I don't think, this is kind of.
I do like this for the Hawks, because you're selling low on Porzingis. He hasn't played for you all year. He's expiring $30 million. They weren't going to re-sign him. Kuminga, he's an intriguing young prospect still. I think he did not thrive under Steve Kerr at all. Steve Kerr just flat out disliked him, refused to play him, which was definitely detrimental to his progression. This year he's only played 20 games. Last year he only played 47. He's averaging 12 points, but two seasons ago he was averaging 16. I think if he gets some good PT, he could turn into a real guy. Buddy Hield, decent role player. It's probably not going to do that much for them, but I like this trade for Atlanta. Another big trade, the last trade of the deadline, kind of a blockbuster. Pacers trade for Clippers center Ivica Zubac. This was really like, I felt stabbed in the heart. Zubac was like our franchise player. He really meant a lot to the Clippers franchise. He's been with us since like 2019. I think he was their longest tenured player. And last season he had a breakout year, all defensive second team. He really thrived with James Harden's playmaking. And I think this was a really smart trade from Clippers management because they were selling really high on Zubac. I think he was going to like regress without a real point guard, without an elite point guard like James Harden, probably wouldn't average as many points and his value probably would have tanked. So you're selling really high on Zubac. And he's also had kind of an off year. Last season he was averaging almost 17 points. This year he's averaging 14. And you get a guy, Benedict Mathurin, who he's an intriguing young prospect. And they also got two first-round picks in this trade, Isaiah Jackson and a second-round pick. One of the first-round picks is the Pacers' 2026 first-round pick, which has really interesting projections. It's protections. It's protected 1 through 4 and 10 through 30. So the Clippers get this pick if it falls between 5 and 9, which I think would be huge for the Clippers.
So basically what this is saying is it's the Pacers saying, we want this pick if it's top 4. So we want it if it's going to be like a generational, you know, franchise-changing prospect. And then it's the Clippers who are protecting it 10 through 30 saying, we don't want it if it's past 10 because we don't really need it. It's not going to be a very good player, right? So, and if it does end up being protected, I think it goes to an unprotected 2031 Pacers first.
Yeah, which is also
potentially
a good pick.
An intriguing pick. Yeah. So I actually really like it from both sides, where both sides are preserving their options. You know, Pacers, if it's top four, you get a Cam Boozer and an AJ DeBonsta, Darren Peterson, depending on how it goes. And then if you're the Clippers and it ends up 5 through 9, which I think as of now it has like a 50% chance of.
Yeah, I think it's 50-50 no matter what.
It's like not slim odds that the Clippers get this pick. And you get, this is a very deep draft class. You still get a very good player out of it.
Or you could trade it in a potential superstar trade, potential Giannis trade for the Clippers.
Maybe. There was some trade talk about, I think I was seeing some rumors about Kawhi, and then I think Clippers shut it down. They didn't want to trade
him. That's but, also another interesting dimension with the whole Kawhi situation, because I saw the only player we have left from, like, the Paul George, Kawhi, Harden year, he's the only guy left.
Yeah.
It was him and Zubats. Zubats is gone. Entirely new team around him. Do you think he stays next year? Because he was in a lot of trade talks, but...
It's really hard to tell with Kawhi Leonard.
He's an interesting guy. He's a special guy.
He's a very hard guy to get a read on when it comes to these things. You know, we saw him spend 1 year in Toronto, win the championship, and then just leave and have nothing to do with the city ever again. I think he wants to be in L.A. is the thing.
I think L.A. or bust.
I think the Clippers want him too, so I don't think he goes. He also is, like, we have to keep in mind, he's pretty old. He's been playing amazing this season. Actually,
he's at a second prime.
Just got named an all-star.
Last night he dropped 41 points also against the T-Wolves. He's playing out of his mind.
He is rehabbing some pretty busted up knees. And who knows what problems that could cause in the future for his longevity. So it's like, it's interesting to see, like, maybe what you could even get for him. Like, I don't know.
I'm surprised teams didn't go harder. I think, like, a Detroit Pistons, that's a team that I think should have gone all in for Kawhi, but I didn't see anything about it. That's my take. So that's the Clippers. I think they had a really good offseason overall, or a really good trade deadline. With this trade also, they position themselves to have more of a future. Benedict Mathurin, he's like 23. I don't know. Do you think he'll become a guy? He's like a looks to score two guard, like, those guys are being kind of transitioned out of the league. Like, with Cam Thomas, he just got waived by the Nets. He's another two guard who basically only looks to score. Norman Powell, another guy in that archetype, but he is achieving some success. So, I mean, you know, we'll see, basically. This is a trade. I think you have to wait until draft lottery night, and then you'll see who actually came out on top.
So yeah, absolutely.
This trade, it'll take some time, but we'll see. So during our draft trade deadline predictions episode, we predicted the Celtics would go out and get a center, and they did exactly that. They traded for Nikola Vucevic for Anthony Simons and a second round pick. Gavin, what do you think of this trade?
I mean, I think it's exactly like we said was going to happen, Marcus. We said the Celtics are a very deep team. They're very good. The one place they lack depth is center. Losing Al Horford to the Warriors this past year. And I think it was a pretty good trade for them. They acquired Anthony Simons from the Trailblazers in the Jrue Holiday trade, right?
Yeah.
Young guard. I like him a lot. I loved his time in the Trailblazers. But Vucevic is a pretty solid mid center in the league. He's nothing special, but I think he's probably better than the guys they were putting out there at center. I mean, I don't remember their center's name.
Nemez Keita, Luka Garza. I think he's like a forward, but
yeah. So
they also
I like the trade for them. They are riding the coattails of just a stellar Jaylen Brown season.
MVP talks.
I don't think he's in MVP talks, but absolutely deserved the All-Star. Are you taking Jaylen Brown over, like, Tyrese Maxey? Like, I don't think so. No, absolutely not.
Yeah, 100. Dude, they're, like, tied for the second seed.
But think about the supporting. I don't know. I'm not with that.
Tyrese Maxey over
Jaylen Brown for MVP every day of the week, bro.
Also defense, Gavin. You can't discount defense.
Is Jaylen Brown's defense that good?
Besides the point. Yeah, he's like one of the best two-way players in the league. What are we talking about? He won Finals MVP for locking down Luka.
That's Finals Luka, though. I don't know. Luka kind of had a bad series that I don't know. But we digress.
Yeah. He played two games so far. I think they're bringing him off the bench, actually, which I think because of his weak defense, Vucevic. He dropped 11 both nights. Shot poor from three yesterday versus the Knicks. 1 of 6. But he was having a good season in Chicago. I think he'll help them get to the playoffs, maybe make some noise. Do you think they'll re-sign him because he's another expiring guy?
It depends on who's available this offseason, I think. If you can go out and get another big, maybe not. But so much of this is just, like, it depends, you know? It depends on who ends up available in the free agency market. But honestly, like, yeah, I'd re-sign him. It depends on how much money he wants to. If he wants a big contract, then I don't know.
And Chicago getting Anthony Simons.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Chicago is. They have, like, one big left on their team.
They traded for all guards. Yeah. They don't have a guy over 6'9".
I mean, it's all... like we mentioned earlier, this isn't really a small ball league anymore. Like, it's all guards. I don't really understand this roster.
Their tallest guy, Nick Richards, who is 6'11", but they only have one center.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Anthony Simons, Josh Giddey. They did just trade away Kobe White.
Colin Sexton, yeah. Yuki Kawamura, who's like 5'7". Trey Jones, and they traded for Jaden Ivey and Rob Dillingham.
Did you see that Jaden Ivey clip the other day where he was going down the court like he was like Drake May, just like holding the ball like it was a football and throwing it? It was like one of the worst basketball clips I think I've ever seen.
I mean, they had a like really dumb trade deadline.
Yeah,
cause
I don't get it at all.
So they traded for Rob Dillingham, giving up Ayo Dosunmu with the Timberwolves. Another trade that I don't understand, because Rob Dillingham, he's an intriguing guard, but
right,
he's
now
stuck,
he's
behind like four guys who you need to give playing time in front of him.
Yeah.
That was a very perplexing trade. They also who did they get from the T-Wolves? They had Mike Conley, right? But they bought him out.
Mike Conley, they got him. And Minnesota absolutely lost his trade. So Minnesota sent Mike Conley in a first round pick in a trade with the Bulls and, I want to say, the Nets, and a little bit of cash, basically to clear cap space, reportedly so that they could go out and get Giannis. Obviously did not happen.
Probably one of the worst Giannis packages. I don't understand how they were so, like, they invested so much into that, because there was no way they were going to get Giannis.
Well, and then
have no picks.
You end up going and losing a first-round pick in this trade, I believe, too. And Mike Conley, I think, then got sent from the Bulls to the Hornets. Was it in the Kobe White trade?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then he got bought out, or is getting waived by the Hornets, something like that. And due to the Andrew Bogut rule, apparently, because he got traded to another team and then is then getting, like, cut, he's actually eligible to go back and re-sign with the Timberwolves, which is apparently what he's doing. He's beloved by the T-Wolves franchise and their fan base. So, just really weird goings all around. Like, I don't quite get it.
Yeah. And after they failed to trade for Giannis, they made that trade for Ayo Dosunmu with the Bulls. They gave up Rob Dillingham. And 4 seconds. But Ayo Dosunmu, he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
Two guard. He's been shooting lights out from three this year. He's shooting 45%. Averaging 15 points with the Bulls. He's played one game so far with the T-Wolves yesterday, and he dropped 11 points on 4 of 11 from the field and 3 of 7 from 3. I think definitely not going to elevate the T-Wolves that much with their title odds, but definitely could help make some noise. But the Timberwolves didn't really do much this trade deadline.
Yeah,
they were looking for a point guard because they don't have a single point guard.
Yeah.
And they got Ayo Dosunmu, who isn't a point guard. So I don't really know what they're doing up in Minnesota.
I mean, what they were trying to do was get Giannis. But, like, again,
also passed on Kobe White, who they could have gotten in the Mike Conley trade.
They could have gotten Kobe White in the trade with Mike Conley in the first round pick. They said no because we want to clear cap space for Giannis. They then go out and don't get Giannis. So you've just lost a first-round pick and lost out on Kobe White, who is, I mean, a pretty high caliber.
Yeah, he's good. He was averaging 20 points with the Bulls. I mean, he's not. He's like a two guard combo guard.
Yeah, he's not really a point guard, but like still,
he'd be good. And Kobe White backcourt would be pretty solid.
I think easily one of the better backcourts.
Yeah.
So it's just.
A lot of shooting guards in the past have kind of transitioned into point guards now. Like Devin Booker, he's kind of becoming more of a point guard. James Harden is a prime example. He was just chucking up shots in Houston, but then he developed a passing game. One of the better passers in the league now. And Ant Edwards, he's not really taking that leap. I don't think he wants to.
He doesn't strike me as the type of guy that wants to really change his game that much. I think he just wants to go out there and hoop. And
he's added a mid-range shot, and he's gotten much better from three, but
I don't think he wants to go and add too much playmaking. I think he wants the ball in his hands most of the
time. Averaging less assists, actually, this year. 3.7. Two seasons ago, he's averaging 5, so he's actually regressing as a passer.
Yeah.
But, yeah, perplexing trade deadline for the T-Wolves.
Do you want to talk about the Sixers, Marcus? Because this one is...
Yeah.
So the Sixers sent Jared McCain to the Oklahoma City Thunder for, I believe it was the Rockets' first-round pick this year and 3 second-round picks, which are not worth all that much. Although I think the Sixers have been good at drafting. Jared McCain, he was like mid-first round, I want to say, like 15th-ish, right?
Yeah.
He
was a really good pick. I was surprised he fell that low.
So they've been
Who wouldn't want to have a... TikToker, part-time NBA player on their team.
Well, I think that's honestly part of why he fits in Oklahoma City so well. I think he's a great culture fit there. I think he's already been making TikToks and stuff from Oklahoma City. But nevertheless, I really, really don't like this trade for the Sixers. Daryl Morey, the Sixers general manager.
Daryl Morey is a liar.
And I will never be a part of a team that Daryl Morey is a part of. But... he came out in a press conference after and said he is very confident that the Sixers are selling high on McCain. I don't really believe that's true. I think he's been stuck. I mean, he was consensus rookie of the year before getting hurt last year, I think.
He was leading rookie of the year talks. He was like, and he was on a heater last year.
He got hurt very early on.
Only played 37 games in his rookie season.
Yeah. And he's been stuck in a very stacked guard lineup this year. He's probably the fourth guard, definitely the fourth guard, behind Quentin Grimes, VJ Edgecombe, and Tyrese Maxey. But I refuse to believe that, like, the play we saw from him in his rookie season was a fluke and that, like, he didn't still have that in him, even though he's not been that great this year. And I just hate... It feels... I know Daryl Morey thinks he was selling high, but it really feels like selling low. I think this is like a guy that is, you know, a future star in this league.
I've seen so many people say he's going to become a perennial all-star, but I don't think that.
Why do you think that, Marcus?
I mean, he's just he had a really good run, but that's what it was. It was a run. He hasn't reproduced that this year. He was scoreless in his first like 10 games this season.
That's because he was getting like 3 minutes a game. He gets one shot in, he bricks it, and then Nick Nurse pulls him from the game. And, you know, of course he's not going to make shots. That, like, kills the guy's confidence, right? He was really, I feel like, starting to get back in his groove before he got traded, too. He was having some good, like, 15.
I mean, he's averaging 6 field goal attempts, so it's not.
But that's the last few games he's been taking a lot more. The, like, scoreless first few games of the season, he was getting no minutes. He was playing in the G League a lot at the beginning of the season. And he's rehabbing from a knee injury, which are pretty hard to come back from. But also part of, I think, the logic behind this trade is Daryl Morey figured that the Sixers could... Well, he said this in his press conference, that they could use the draft capital acquired in this trade to go out and make a big splash move that obviously did not happen. He said nothing
materialized. This was their only move, basically.
Don't forget about trading Eric Gordon to the Grizzlies.
Oh,
to duck the luxury tax. How could we forget about that? Like, all this really is the Sixers are a cheap franchise and want to duck the luxury tax and just be perennially not good. And it just, it's like, it feels like just wrong to give up on a guy this early in his career when he has...
I agree. They're selling... they're selling low.
Yeah.
It doesn't get much lower than it is now. Yeah. I don't think. He's averaging like 5 points.
You got a first-round pick back. I mean, the Rockets are pretty good, right? They're like, what, the fourth seed, right? They're,
yeah,
they're
they'll, high seed they'll definitely finish
higher. I think
they're
going to drop. I think they might. I don't know. They're,
yeah, I guess, yeah. The Rockets, another team we'll talk about.
Yeah, no matter what, they're making the playoffs, right?
Like, yeah. That I mean, yeah, six seed minimum.
Yeah, so this isn't a lottery pick. It's going to be like a pretty mid pick in this draft, like late first round. So it's not a valuable pick. The second rounders are pretty much worthless, and you didn't go out and trade them for anything else, so it's just like, why? I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely a perplexing move. I think it's good for the Thunder. They're buying low on Jared. He could become like a good sixth man. They need more shooting. He's a good shooter. Interesting move, but we will have to pause our regular programming for a quick PSA. Today's PSA is on Balkan Music Night, Saturday, February 28th. Balkan Music Night is the Boston area's premier event devoted to the exciting and soulful repertoires of traditional music and dance from Southeastern Europe. The 37th annual Balkan Music Night will be held on February 28th, featuring music and dance from Bulgaria, Greece, Macedonia, Romania, Serbia, Turkey, and more, performed by master musicians and bands from near and far. With performances of lively instrumental music and expressive vocal music, you'll be able to listen and dance to music from all corners of the Balkans and beyond. Light refreshments, dance instruction, and a dance performance are part of the fun. It all starts at 6 p.m. at the Arts at Armory, 161 Highland Avenue, Somerville, Massachusetts. For more details and to purchase tickets, go to BalkanMusicNight.com.
Do you think we're going to see Luka Doncic and Nikola Jokic there, Marcus?
I mean, who knows? I can't make any promises, but...
Your guy, Ivica Zubac, is Croatian, right?
Yeah, he's Croatian.
So maybe we'll see him there, too.
Yeah. Well, Ivica is in Indiana now, but yeah. Maybe he'll show face.
So, yeah.
Any other big trades? Well, we have some teams that did not make big trades that I think we should talk about. The Rockets... They did absolutely nothing. Not one single trade, which I think is like mismanagement, malpractice.
Do you think they're a team that kind of had to go all in or bust?
Yeah. If your main guy is Kevin Durant, who's 37, turning 38, probably got like 1 or 2 years left in the league at most. If you're punting the season, like what are you doing?
Yeah, like
went all in, and now you're giving up already.
I guess you're waiting for like Fred VanVleet to come back healthy and like Steven Adams.
But like, what are they going to do for you? They're not that good, and I mean, you should have packaged Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams for like a point guard. They should have tried to get James Harden, but they weren't interested in it. I saw, which I think is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't quite get what they're doing. I mean. They're going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to be a...
And they're going to be a first-round exit.
Probably. It's kind of a waste of the last few years of Kevin Durant's career.
I don't know why they didn't try to get Giannis either. Because they said they weren't interested in a Giannis deal. But they have a compelling package. I mean, Amen Thompson, Şengün, Reed Sheppard also. He's an interesting young guy. And I saw something that about Şengün. Ime Udoka, Rockets head coach, has been frustrated with Şengün because of his just terrible defense.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a good defender.
Yeah, he was just named an All-Star replacement, but I think you should have switched up the roster.
Yeah.
Because you are a championship or bust team for the rest of Kevin Durant's time with you.
I feel like they could have gone and got, like, is this crazy? Like, Kobe White was not that expensive.
I
think that's a good guard to add to this team that would have made them better.
I mean, just any guard.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know Kobe White's not a true point guard, and they really are more needing at the point guard position, but, like, anybody. I mean, you brought up James Harden. They could have gone and got Dennis Schroeder from the Kings for nothing. They probably could have got him for, like, a
Russell Westbrook.
Exactly.
Bring Russ back to Houston.
There's so many guys they could have gotten for... not very much money or picks or players or anything, and they just didn't.
The issue with Fred VanVleet, he has a no trade clause, and he's making $25 million, 2-year contract, 2 years 50. I mean, he probably could have gone trade in to LA. I feel like he would have accepted an LA trade to the Clippers. Because every guy wants to be in LA.
When you say you gotta specify the Clippers when you say LA. I was like, I thought you were talking about the Lakers.
No. Lakers, another team that had a bummy trade deadline.
Only real trade was Gabe Vincent and a second for Luke Kennard, which you did not like.
I hate that trade.
I like it for the Lakers more, but like they should have done more. But like
Rob Pelinka did say that they were aggressive. As I quote, "I would say we were aggressive, and one form of being aggressive is saying no to moves that come your way that might not be best for the short and long-term future." So, said that 2 days ago.
That does not...
They were pretty aggressive trading for Luke Kennard, I think. Yeah. No, I hate that move.
I disagree with you. I think they need more shooting, and Luke Kennard has not shot that much in Atlanta this past season, but...
Gabe Vincent, a great shooter.
He's on his like smaller volume, has been very good. And Gabe Vincent's just been awful. Like, horrible.
Yeah, he's just a bad player.
Yeah, so I think you improve at the cost of a second-round pick is my...
They have assembled the Snowtime Lakers. Yeah.
You've got Luka Doncic, Luke Kennard, Dalton Connect, Austin Reeves, Jake Laravia,
Drew Timmy,
I didn't even think Drew Timmy was still in the league. I just found that out earlier.
Maxi Kleba.
Yeah.
Dalton Connect.
It's an interesting...
All shooting, no D lineup.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to go get a wing. A defensive wing. I get they're trying to maintain flexibility for this offseason and the offseason after that, but... I don't know. And they do have to sign Austin Reeves, re-sign him. He's expiring. I think he's got a player option.
He's going to get a bag, probably.
Yeah, probably max or near max.
Because he hasn't made an all-star team, right?
No.
So what's the max for him is not too... Is it probably something
probably
similar
like 40.
To a Fred VanVleet deal?
No, really? That low?
Per year, you think 40?
Yeah, I feel like he'll get 40. He's averaging like 28.
I'm not too familiar with what they're allowed to offer when a guy hasn't made the All-Star team. I know, like, you know, the higher the accolades, the more you're allowed to offer them as a percent of the salary cap. But he's got, no matter what,
he's projected to get a max contract, 5-year max contract worth up to $241 to $246 million with the Lakers. So he'll be getting a bag, but I don't know. I'm disappointed. I think... I saw some news that LeBron, he will be playing next season, but not with the Lakers. It's just weak deadline.
Yeah, a lot of talk that LeBron might even be going back to Cleveland this offseason.
Yeah, I saw that.
That could be a really interesting world where you've got James Harden, LeBron, and Dimich on the same team next season.
Mm-hmm. I think
could be a contender. Ring,
LeBron get his fifth ring.
Yeah, fifth. Yeah. His fourth was 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was LA. Anything else you want to...
One more, the Pistons added shooting. Gavin and I, being the basketball savants we are, we did predict that the Pistons would go and get shooting, so I just want to give ourselves a pat on the back for getting that right.
Yeah,
as well.
I think our predictions from last week's episode were
pretty solid.
Yeah.
Minus the Giannis stuff, which total like crapshoot with that.
That's... I blame Shams for that.
Yeah.
Not us.
Shams got to us. Maybe in the off season, we'll see. But that is all we have for you today, folks. Thank you for listening to Courtside with Gavin Evans and Marcus Frank.
Yep, we officially rebranded to Courtside.
Yep.
So
new name, no longer NBA in the AM. Thank you all for listening and have a great rest of your week.
We'll see you guys next week.